Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show, coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need an expert in the home loan process and to help navigate the home loan process itself, Rocket can do that for you. All right, hour two, CBS Sports Radio, simulcast, CBS Sports Network, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, number 1-855-212-4227. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Packers wideout, coming up next hour. Dan Campbell, relatively newly minted head coach of Detroit Lions, third hour, Tiki's former teammate back in the day. You know, listen, that Nets-Spurs game last night was sneaky awesome. Sneaky awesome.
Sneaky awesome because of James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you could tell me how many points he scored and the rebounds and the assists and the triple-double. And the most impressive part for me is I think he played 44 minutes with the overtime when the Nets outscored him 16-5 in overtime. Yeah. I think it was 44 minutes. Not a single turnover.
Yeah.
With complete ball domination.
Yeah.
A high usage rate. I mean, that's one of the most impressive games of the season by anybody.
I agree.
By far.
And, you know, at 31 years old, right? Almost 32. Yep. He's like, he's getting better. Like he's found a part of his game that he never really explored. And it's being a sharer of responsibility, but also being dominant. Like, he's found this perfect sweet spot with this Brooklyn Nets squad, and Kyrie obviously is his cohort right now. When KD comes back, it's a different conversation, which we'll have in a second. But before we get to that, VT, it's like James Harden, and I don't want to say this because it's dismissive of how great he won an MVP. It's like he wasted those years in Houston because it wasn't that continued development. Right, it was always, didn't it feel like the same thing every single season
for him or for the team?
For him. I'm not talking about the team. Also for the team, but it was like the same thing. Like, you knew that he was gonna be dominant. He was gonna score 50 in some games. He was gonna inch towards triple doubles. He was gonna be at the top of the MVP conversation. But they were gonna get to the postseason, and someone was gonna trap him or shut him down in some way.
Well, hold on, I gotta stop you now.
He's gonna fall short.
I think you framed that the wrong way. You said, didn't we know that? No, I knew that. You kept telling me.
No,
you know,
I believe
this
I
was
just
the
believed.
Year. No, now I know.
I just believed in the hope that they would. But here's the thing: they were
so
trying,
it was rooted more in hope rather than
more
conviction.
In hope. Because look, I like seeing great players, and he's a great player.
Yeah,
I like seeing great players achieve things that seem improbable. And over the last couple of years, every year it's like, all right, that's probably not going to happen. But James Harden might be able to carry him, and he never could.
Never
right?
could.
He never could. Whether it was because his cohorts. Whoever it may be over those years, Chris Paul was one.
Gordon, Chris Paul Gordon, got hurt. Eric Gordon,
right?
Yeah,
it was always something.
Clint Capella,
always something was the flaw.
Yeah,
whether it was injury or, you know what, let's just go small and have nobody over 6'8". Yeah, that'll work in the regular season. Then you get destroyed in the postseason. So it was always something, but it was the same. Like, it was always the same. Now it feels like his game is evolving, as opposed to being stuck in the hamster wheel of middling success. And I only say middling because we're just talking about regular season. The postseason hasn't come yet for him, and it just feels like, man, he's grooming himself and this team to do something big in the East and maybe in the NBA.
What's rewarding, I think, for all real devout NBA fans is that we're getting to watch him now play. Certainly with another superstar, and early on while Kyrie was gone, another superstar, and eventually superstars, plural. Like, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, LeBron early on elevating that cast of, you know, B-minus players to heights they had no business reaching.
Yep.
You know, eventually you need Anthony Davis, you know, for years, unable to elevate the Pelicans to anything, pair up with LeBron, win the championship immediately. You know, this is the way of the NBA. And we need to, I need to know that, and we're not going to cross this bridge, so we're going to talk about it, but we're not going to physically and literally pass this basketball bridge, maybe not literally, but pass this basketball bridge until the playoffs here. I want to see. When it's June and it's game four or game five and it's tied at two, if it's game five, or you're down 2-1, if you even become, you know, if you're ever in a hole, down 2-1, I want to see which James Harden shows up.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I need answered on his resume, because everything else is simply amazing.
Yeah.
Efficient, durable, explosive. I need to see some dubs in when it matters.
Yeah, and he's a rebound and a half away from averaging a triple-double on the season already, which is just, it's just amazing. Now, here's the thing. When they get to the postseason, or really just later in the regular season, post-All-Star break, when hopefully Kevin Durant is healthy, his hamstring has been bothered. This thing has been lingered for a long time.
Had a little setback.
Yeah, they generally do for explosive athletes. Like if you're a run, like a football player, like you have to run, the hamstring usually is an issue. And I think people discount, because I was doing this early too. It's like, it's the hamstring. What the heck? It's just, you'll be fine. How did you didn't rip it. You know what I mean? You weren't going fast enough. Why is it still bothering you? But it is an issue, because it's clearly been now 2.5 weeks and probably going to be another week and a half more before they even have an idea. But the point is, when he does come back, who does James Harden become? Like those points that he wasn't scoring previously, now he has to score because KD is out. Yep. Does he have like a taste for it? You know what I mean? Does his mind revert back to those few games? There was a handful of games where all three of them were playing together, and James Harden took a clear backseat.
Yes,
he did. 2 points in a quarter, you know, maybe sometimes four. He'd get to the fourth quarter, he'd be completely fresh, and he'd run it down the end and push them towards victories. But who does he become when it's three guys that need to be fed, and really four if you count Joe Harris as a sharpshooter, a spot up shooter that need to be fed? What does he become at that point? And if he maintains the same level of efficiency and unselfishness, then this Nets team's gonna be really hard to beat.
I agree with that. Here's what I think is gonna happen. I have so much faith in each one of their individual basketball IQs.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, their basketball IQs are through the roof.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a starting base where you say, okay, so we start there and we're all on common ground. We all see the game the same way. We all have a similar feel for the game. So there should be immediate adaptability to role allocation. That's number one, right? Yep. Then I mix in the fact that they generally are boys with each other and there's no agendas. It's like, you know, Kyrie's got his chip and he knocked down the three against the Warriors. And, you know, Durant was the best player twice in MVP with the Warriors. Like I'm not saying he doesn't have anything to prove as the guy with the Nets on some level for some. The only guy that has something to prove left here is James Harden.
Yeah.
And I think that James Harden is smart enough to know when to defer. No one to take over. And quite frankly, Teak, I think it's really just going to be as simple as a matchup-driven thing. Like on a night in the playoffs now.
Yeah.
On a night-to-night or a series-to-series thing, although there will be night-to-night adjustments within the series, as we know, I think it's going to really depend. Like we can see the first round of the Eastern Conference, first round playoffs, we can see Kevin Durant average, you know, 37 and Harden take a complete backseat because the matchup completely favored Durant to just destroy whomever's in front of him.
Yep.
Round two, the quarterfinals, might be the opposite. He might have 2 inches on the point guard and he could shoot over him the entire series and he averages 35 and his usage rate goes through the... I think It depends who they play, but I think all three are game to do the right thing.
I agree.
I really do.
And by the way, on my MVP tracker that I keep looking at on Basketball Reference, he's still not on the list, and it's moved. It's not like it's been static.
What do you got? How many? They have eight of them or not? What do they have?
There's 10.
Oh, he's not even in the top 10?
He's not in the top 10.
What do you got?
At the top, it stays the same.
Joel Embiid. Joker.
Nope, it's Joker. It's Jokic.
So that flipped from last week then? Because we had Embiid first.
No, we did. We did. But
oh, I got you.
But this tracker, just to clarify, this is some algorithm that's not like a person sitting over there going, okay, I'm going to put this guy first, this guy second.
Got it.
It's based on like usage percentage and I'm sure PER and everything else is there. So Joker's number one at 49.7% this is the percentage to win the MVP. And he's having a ridiculous season. You mentioned earlier, BT, he's shooting 56% from the field. He's shooting 41% from three-point range.
He's the MVP.
And I said how James Harden was an assist or a rebound and a half from averaging a triple-double. Jokic is an assist and a half from averaging a triple-double this season, which
is crazy.
With
Jamal Murray, by the way, for the first 25 games, really in a shooting slump that was confounding. He'd probably have a few more assists if he was knocking down some shots.
That's exactly right.
All right, so who's we got Embiid number two.
Embiid's number two, 16.5%. Giannis is three at 12. I agree. Kawhi, this is just an algorithm. You. Kawhi has jumped LeBron.
I'm okay with that.
Me as well.
They lost four out of five games.
Yep, and they're finally back on track.
Where's my boy Doncic? He better be jumping over somebody last week or so.
So Doncic was 10 the last time I looked at this. He's now 8.
Oh, here he comes.
Above Steph Curry.
Oh, and rightfully so.
And Chris Paul.
And rightfully so.
And he's behind Rudy Gobert and Damian Lillard. So that's the top 10. Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, Lillard, Gobert, Doncic, Curry, and Chris Paul.
I have a prediction for you because AD's not coming back anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Doncic is going to fly past LeBron.
Yeah, agreed. Next time we look at this, when we do it in, say, 2 weeks, we'll look at it again.
Yeah.
Doncic will probably be four or five.
I was
going
to say four.
Depending on where Kawhi keeps going or not.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think Steph is going to have any upward surge. I think LeBron's going to go a step or two back. I think Gobert, the Jazz lost a game.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised it, like a weird game plan. You're not supposed to lose that game. So maybe Gobert takes a step back slightly. I still love Utah, what they represent, but I could see he's not going to win it.
Yeah.
Doncic is making his move.
He is.
I'm not saying he's going to win it. To me, Embiid's going to win the award.
He's a year away, I think. He's got to start better. In this game, this MVP game, it's all about start to finish. Like,
dude,
what are you
he's
doing
so
from
good,
start
though.
To finish? He it, is, but he took him. I mean, he's just got to keep his ass in shape in the
offseason. I know.
That'll change. But my point to give you this list is James Harden's nowhere to be found.
Not even in the top 10.
Not in the top 10. And you know what? You know why he won't be? And he deserves to be in this conversation. He won't be.
Because he's traded?
Well, partly that. But also because he's not viewed as the best player on that team. And in some people's minds, you would say, yeah, it's a battle between – it's second. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it him or is it Kyrie that's the better guy? You put Kyrie – give the ball to Kyrie. He's cold-blooded. You know he's knocking down whatever it may be, and he's going to do it in the finals as well, as we saw when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We know KD is that way because he's got his spots. I would say one, but he's got multiple. He's going to get to him. He's going to knock down those shots. And he has two finals MVPs. Mm-hmm. So James Harden, despite being – currently the best playing player on that team right now, he's not viewed as the best player.
But based on those MVP, and I know it's all math driven, I get that, but Rudy Gobert to me is not the best player on the Utah Jazz, but yet he's higher than Spider Mitchell.
I agree.
I think it's Donovan Mitchell who's the best. I love Gobert. Donovan Mitchell's better.
But I think again, I'm guessing. I don't know what this algorithm is, but I'm assuming that it has a bunch to do with their PERs, right? You know what I mean? And so Gobert, as crazy as it may sound, has a better PER than Donovan Mitchell does.
What's his number? 27?
It's 22.9. So basically 23. Donovan Mitchell is 19. And so
that is a little low for Mitchell.
Yeah.
19?
There's these This I don't know how they calculate PER.
It's all efficiency based. It's easy, but 19 is
I agree
a little lower than it
should
be.
But that's my point. That's what I'm saying. He's actually third on the team. Mm. Actually, he's fourth on the team.
What is Ingles in front of him? No, you got Conley in front of him.
Rudy Gobert. Yeah. Derek Favors.
Derek Favors. Wow. Yep. Yeah, but Favors doesn't play those heavy minutes like those.
Agree.
Other.
Okay. So that one's invalidated.
Got
but
it.
Then Mike Conley is above him by just a couple of percentage points. So
Mike's had a good season. Very
he
good.
Has. He has. So I think that's why it keeps him off. A lot of this is just it's PER based, which is a metric that doesn't necessarily indicate how like watching a game, what the impact was. It's more efficiency than it is, you know, actuality.
Can you imagine? I'm sorry, TK.
No, I was going to say, and I think that's why James Harden is also left out of this.
Because okay.
if you're not watching these games, these Nets games, and you see the stats, you're like, oh, those are great stats. You know, but it's more than just the stats of James Harden. Right
oh,
now.
But if you're a basketball fan, how the hell do you
but
not,
I'm not
watch
talking,
the Nets?
But this is a, this
the
is
Nets
a,
are
this
a
is
show.
A
you got to watch the Nets.
I'm talking about this metric. This is a computer. This computer is not actually
it's a biased
there.
Computer. It's a Western Conference
maybe,
fan.
Maybe.
Maybe it's an old – maybe it's Houstonian-based. A little bias against him for leaving.
Yeah, okay, we got a hater matrix in here somewhere.
How about this, though? And I mean, it is what it is. It's not going to happen. I mean, although maybe next year. But could you imagine a fully healthy Golden State Warriors team against the Nets in the finals?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Can you imagine that?
The Nets, I don't know. Because if it's still Draymond. And Clay, who's got to get back up to
I'm
speed.
Saying if Clay never got hurt, that, I'm saying
yeah.
like in this
but
fantasy
I'm just, but
world.
I'm just thinking about the defensive side of this. Mm-hmm. Like, who has the advantage defensively? Because, again, both these teams are going to score out the wazoo.
I'll tell you, I'm betting the over every night.
There's
I don't,
no
I,
doubt about
forget
it.
Forget about defense.
But is the Golden State defense still like it used to be?
No, but it's better than the Nets.
No.
No, yeah, the answer is no, but it's better than the Nets.
But how much better?
Not discernibly better, yeah. But I would say better where I'm provided Clay's the same guy somewhat laterally, maintain some of that more most of that dexterity. I would say that the Warriors are not dramatically better, but better to the point where I don't really even have to think twice about it I give you my answer. They're better.
The Warriors are
interesting
because they're 20th. Like they're 20th out of 30 in opponents' points per game.
Yep.
Right? But they're fourth in defensive rating.
Exactly.
Which is so they're a little bit confusing. So they're still really good, but they can be scored on.
What's the Nets numbers? Do you have them?
Yeah, the Nets numbers.
So it's 20-4.
20th in total points.
20th total.
Up, total points given up.
Yep.
The
fourth
Nets
in rating.
Are, yep. The Nets are 27th.
There you go.
In total points given up.
What and rating? About 12, 13,
25th.
25th?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Nice.
We know where the advantage is.
We do.
The Golden State Warriors.
All right, T. Coming up, Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the Green Bay Packers. Talk a little pack. That's always fun. How the season ended, what's in store for 2021, Aaron Rodgers. Talk about the dynamic with the Green Bay Packers with one of their speedsters. That's next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We are back. Hopefully everybody's having a great Tuesday here around the country. Tiki, looking forward to having a conversation with our next guest. We had him a couple times on the show, once in studio, right, if I recall?
That's right.
A couple of years back when he was just a young pup. Now he's... He's got some seasoning in the NFL for the Packers, coming off a nice season. The Packers, of course, 13-3, beat the Rams division round. We all know what happened against the champion Bucks, tight one in the conference championship game. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a nice game, over 100 yards that day. Had a good season. We all know he can run, he can make plays, and he's back with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Marquez, how you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, buddy. Welcome back.
Yeah,
man.
No, we are good. You had a hell of a season. And BT says you're a young man. You're still a young man. You're 20 years younger than me. It makes me feel really old. But you feel like it seems like you're getting it, man. 20.9 yards per reception and led the NFL last year. As you're heading now into your fourth year, your mindset's got to be I've got it. I understand it. How do I take those next steps? How do you see yourself taking those next steps?
I just keep growing, keep learning. You know, I think one thing I learned from, you know, the vets that I've been around is that no matter, you know, what their success was the previous year, they want to keep growing and keep getting better as players and keep figuring out, you know, what's going to separate them and make them different.
How much more? Yeah, how much more comfortable were you, and I guess even Aaron Rodgers to an extent, in the second year of this offensive system? Obviously, it's yours as well. Now, how did you feel this year as opposed to last year when it was all brand new?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, learning a new system is always going to be challenging, especially when you have, you know, great players who've been around, you know, great systems before. So teaching, you know, old dogs new tricks is always tricky. But, you know, we all adapted and we learned together. We all had a weird offseason with COVID hitting. But I think we all did a good job and were able to, you know, be as efficient as possible with our offense that we had this year.
You know, every player is different. And some players, after a tough loss, they just kind of – I know you probably didn't get to travel the way you might have in an otherwise non-pandemic year, but – you know, you get a tough loss, and hey, I'm not watching the Super Bowl. There's no way I'm going to watch a team that just beat me barely. I'm sure you felt you should have won the game. I'm sure. How long did it take you to get over the loss, if you even gotten there yet? And did you even watch the Super Bowl?
I did not watch the Super Bowl. I live in Tampa, so it was kind of tough avoiding it. I had to drive past the stadium quite often. You know, so it was tough in that part. I mean, yeah, because I didn't watch it. Obviously, you know, it's my hometown team growing up. I've always been a Buck fan. So, you know, obviously I was rooting for those guys. And actually I've seen some of the guys who in the gym today who I trained with, they won the Super Bowl. So being able to see them today kind of put some anger back in my heart. But I was obviously happy, you know, for the homies. It's definitely not easy, you know, losing in that fashion. And, you know, but, you know, as a competitor, no one wants to lose, you know, giving your heart and soul into a game. I'm coming up, you know, so close, you know, 2 years in a row. But, you know, you get over it, you move forward and go back again next year and try it again.
How many times, and we're talking to Marquez Valdes-Scantling of the Packers, terrific young wideout, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And Tiki and I talked about, you know, those plays from the 8-yard line. I think it was the 8-yard line. Where you guys eventually took the field goal, and then all the discussions from there. Rodgers had a chance to run it in on third down, and he did not. I thought there was a touchdown there to be had. What do I know? I didn't play the game. It looked like he could have gotten the pylon. Who knows? But either way you cut it, Marquez, those three plays and the inability to get those few yards, which understandably are tougher to get than to say to get. I get that. But how often do you think about that sequence? That was the season. How often do you think about those three plays?
I don't think about it at all.
Really?
Nope.
Yeah.
See, I would be thinking. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Nope. Go ahead.
One play doesn't, you know, define a game. You know, we've had multiple opportunities to win the game throughout the game. You know, one of those plays goes different. You know, we're in a different situation. You know, so you know, one play doesn't define a game. Just like, you know, get too hard on yourself. Or, you know, one play, you know, drop the pass or incompletion or whatever the case is. You know, it's just football. I mean, you have several of those plays throughout the game. If, you know, one of those seven plays, those definitely were in a different situation. They're talking about, you know, the Green Bay Packers being Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. No, you're more – Tiki's more resilient than me. I'd still be thinking about it. I'd still be saying go for the touchdown instead of the field goal.
MVS, I know you guys probably haven't watched this, but do you think you will? You'll watch this game?
No, there's no need to. By next season, it'll be a different football team. We'll have different players. We'll be doing different things. We'll be having different opponents. So there's no real need to go back in and watch it.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, there will be turnover. It happens every year. And your quarterback, you know, Aaron Rodgers mentioned this at the end of the season. And a lot of people took it some ways, and others took it others. And he was, you know, positioning one thing or another. But Aaron still seems like he has a lot left. He's going to be 38 years old. He won the MVP. How much does he, from your perspective, as you watch him grind and, you know, put in all this effort and work and still, you know, lead the league in a lot of different categories? How do you see him as a 38-year-old quarterback? I know we just saw a 43-year-old quarterback win a Super Bowl, but to win an MVP at his age, it's spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best in the league. He's been the best in the league for a long time. He's a very intelligent and very hardworking individual. And, you know, there's a standard that he holds himself to and that he held everyone else around him to. And so that's what makes him a great teammate and obviously a great player. And to win an MVP at this you know, this age. You know, I don't think age is really relevant to his talent. Mm-hmm. You know, he can throw a football from anywhere at any age and still be very, very good at it. You know, so I think that, you know, he's not done anytime soon, and he's not leaving Green Bay anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. And we had Jordan Love, who was drafted in the first round, obviously, last year, right after the Super Bowl, a couple days after the Super Bowl, we talked to him, and he said, look, there was no drama. From your perspective, watching outside the quarterback room, did it feel like there was any tension there, despite what we on the outside as media and fans made of that situation?
Yeah, I mean, the media made that way bigger than what it was. you know, there was no drama. There was no question about who our quarterback was or who our number one quarterback is. I mean, Jordan, obviously, he's a very talented player, which is why he was picked in the first round. But it was still a thing for the future, not a thing for right now. And obviously, you know, our right now is our MVP quarterback that we have, wearing number 12. And so, you know, that's our right now. I mean, just like when Aaron was drafted, it was for the future. You know, Brett played, you know, years after, you know, Aaron was drafted. And so it was one of those things where, you know, eventually, you know, there won't be Aaron Rodgers at number 12. And so that was just what the plan was for.
You know, Mark, every time we have you on the show, Mark Wes, you come across very, very singular-minded, very driven. You don't get wrapped up in the nonsense, which is a good thing. It'll keep you grounded, keep you focused here. But you're also a human being with blood and guts going through your body. So when you heard all offseason, Packers didn't get any wide receivers. Packers didn't draft any receivers for Green Bay. They don't have enough weapons for Aaron Rodgers. If I'm you, I got to be honest. That would piss me off. did that bother the wide receiver room?
Nah, because we don't really care about what happens about people outside of our building. You know, one thing I've always learned is that if the person talking has never been in my position, never played football, you can't really tell me, you know, what's good and what's bad. So if they're not a GM or they have no say-so, then it doesn't really matter what they say.
Oh, he's basically telling me to shut up is what he's saying, Tiki. He's basically saying you didn't play the game. Who is this clown? Who is this scrub? That's not what you're really saying, Mark Quinn, are you?
I played the card. I didn't play the game card. I love it.
Hope you're not saying that, buddy. Well, he didn't refute it.
No,
okay,
he didn't.
There you
he
go.
Did. Hey, Dave, all right. Marquez, tell us about SubNation Media. You're partnering with them to launch a professional esports team. Like, what is this all about? I mean, is there money to be made in this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, video games has been a part of my life since I was a child, and I've always wanted to, you know, be a part of a esports team and do something along those lines, and then just, like, you know, having the position that I'm in. And having the platform that I have, you know, why not create my own? It's something that I thought was a great idea. I was able to link up with SubNation and, you know, go after it. And like I said, it's not even about the money to be made in it. Obviously, you know, it's a goal, but the main goal is to, you know, grow a platform, get people the opportunity to go out and showcase their abilities and go out and compete. That's what this whole thing is always about, just competition, and I love being able to compete, especially playing video games, something that I do every single day, and I think that it's just a super dope thing for being able to find partners that will, you know, back me on it and go out and try to have some fun with it.
Now, when you play these video games, do you play as the Packers?
I don't play a lot of football games.
Gotcha.
To be completely honest.
Yeah.
Never really enjoyed them. I played them when I was younger. But, you know, you live and breathe football all day. You don't want to go home and play more football.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got
what, you. What's your role? What will you be doing? Will you be managing other gamers? Like, I don't, like, explain this a little bit.
I'm the CEO. I'm the top dog. So
nice.
I'm doing everything. Obviously, I got a 50-50 partnership with SubNation, and they'll do more of the managing side of it. But, you know, I'll be competing. I'll be recruiting. I'll be marketing, you know, all the things that I do for my own social media, I'll be doing for my company as well.
All right.
That's
you
pretty
got,
cool.
You got a lot on your plate there. Well, listen, good having you back on the show. Enjoy the new endeavor. Good luck with it. You know, rest up, heal up if you have anything that's still barking, and looking forward to seeing what the Packers have next season, Marquez.
Sir, thank you. I appreciate the time, Dave.
Yep. Be good.
Back to you. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Teague, let's get the update from Ack and your buddy. So we're going to have Dan Campbell on next hour, right? But Dan Campbell, new head coach of the Lions, said something pretty interesting about the franchise tag that we want to get into. So we'll get into that after Ack's update. Then we'll get with Coach Campbell coming up in hour number three. Teague and Tierney, Ack's update right now. All right. All right. March Madness right around the corner this weekend. CBS 2 days full, College Hoops triple headers. The action begins Saturday at noon Eastern. Battle in the Big 12, Texas and Texas Tech. And then on Sunday, you got three more. Capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown. Iowa battles the Buckeyes. And that is a pair of College Hoops triple headers Saturday and Sunday, beginning at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. And then the week after that, the high-profile conferences have conference tournaments. And before you know it, we'll be sitting on the couch watching Selection Sunday. And Teague's team will definitely be in.
Yeah, they got a necessary win against Miami. I mean, Miami
is horrendous.
They're horrendous this year.
What happened to Miami, dude?
Their top player, and I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. Maybe D-Cell can help me out. He's been out all season long, one of their guards. And so they just, Larnaga just been struggling.
But they're like 3-18.
I know, they're bad,
like,
dude.
It's horrendous. You shouldn't be that bad.
No, you really shouldn't. You got talent, but they're not playing well this year at all.
No,
maybe they have issues with COVID that we're not seeing or paying attention to because they're not good.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a anti Miami squad. Even if they're like average, they're not like this.
For sure. I mean, this was like for a couple of years. This is like Boston College territory.
Yes.
In the conference, exactly, and they're not that kind of territory. I'm with you. Even if they're not a power, they're generally not a doormat, and they've had a rough road this year. All right, so we've got Dan Campbell coming up next hour, Lions' new head coach. Had a pretty wild press conference, you know, like old school WWE, which was met with a lot of resistance, you know, for the sophisticated media.
Nah,
it was a little
on.
Too Neanderthal. Yeah. Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? First of all, I love this press conference.
He said, if you want to think I'm a meathead, I'll be a meathead. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't care.
No.
He's a good coach. Guys are going to respond to him because he's no nonsense. He's not dissimilar. Now, Mike Vrabel was a lot more, let's say, polished in his deliveries. But guys love this, man. As long as you're making them better and you're real with them, then there's nothing wrong with being, you know, crazy like Dan Campbell was crazy at his press conference.
They didn't just pull him out of some gym. He was the associate head coach for the Saints.
That's exactly right. And the interim for the Miami Dolphins. He's been on this track for at least 8 years, seven or 8 years. He's been on this track.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Teague, I know there's a few specific things we want to get into here, at least, you know, one of which, and we'll play it for you, what he said about the tender, not about the tender.
The franchise tag.
About the franchise tag, thank you. But just because we're going to do a lot of Lions, because we're going to actually get in next hour, they're actually considering drafting a quarterback in the first round, despite adding Goff. So we'll get into that at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, and then some other quarterback names will invariably hit. It won't be all Lions, but it'll be primarily Lions in their quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Then we'll have Coach Campbell after that. But it's a good time to say it. I am really rooting for this one to work for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
don't
it's
you
been a
think
long
they deserve
time.
Something?
Yeah, it just feels like they need a right move because they've had the right quarterback. Let's face it, they have. I mean, Matt Stafford is a good player, really good, heavily above average player.
Yeah, yeah.
And his peers at the position that are currently playing, forget the analyst, but the peers at the position think he's a way above average player. And he's just surrounded by mediocrity on the field. You know, that's getting better because there's some much better players that have joined that team over the last couple of years, but certainly sub-mediocrity in the coaching realm, and it's held him back. And so it just feels like, you know, this Detroit team always is not just a player, but they're like 5 or 6 or 7 players away from being impactful. I hope that Dan Campbell and this new staff can help change that.
See, they haven't won a playoff game since 1991.
I know. Yeah.
91?
Yeah, think about that. I've been retired for 15 years. That was 6 years before I came in the league. It's insane.
1991. Like, what movies were out? What were the songs? Was that like Milli Vanilli territory? 1990, Vanilla Ice?
Yeah,
what the hell was going on in 91?
I was in high school. I just got into high school. Maybe 91. My second year in high school. Yeah, that's a long time ago, dude.
And all the quarter, and that's the irony. Generally, teams that, you know, languish the way they have for multiple decades fail to identify the and eventually secure, I should say, better, or secure a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
They actually did that, and they have still managed to, you know, live in this abyss that is only reserved for a few special NFL teams. Not many of them that that recycle coaches and, you know, lose. I mean, not forget about the coaches. Name me another team that has basically driven two of the all-time greats into retirement.
That's on their resume. There's not a lot.
Think about that.
Yeah, not only all-time greats for their franchise, but for the
league.
You know, I meant
for the league and Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson.
Yeah,
and everybody when Calvin was named
both
to the Hall
of Famers.
Fame,
yeah,
not everybody, but a lot of people. That's the first. Yeah, what are you kidding? Did you forget watching Megatron on Sundays when he was in his prime?
Yeah, we did because he only played 9 years or
triple
however
teamed
many, 11 years, 10 or 11. I forget how many years.
I think it wasn't more than 11. Double triple team. Every play.
Just throw it up.
With no running game. Nothing.
Yeah. Just throw it up. We'll figure it out.
And he was still beasting. I mean, that is hard to do. Find me, and I'd love some tweets, find me another, not just NFL team, find me any other sporting franchise, even the most obscure European soccer team, I don't mean the like obscure, that forced two sporting icons into retirement early.
Yeah.
Please identify another team that has that at the top of their resume.
It'll be very hard. There isn't one. You're right.
Not two. I don't even know we can really find maybe one. So anyway, so as we advance this year, I don't, as much as I like Campbell, and I think he's a lot smarter than he's being positioned from as a media, and that's why he said, listen, if you're comfortable with your intellect, you don't have an issue being called a meathead, because you know that deep down you're going to prove everybody quickly that that's not the case. So he's just playing possum, playing coy. He knows he's very smart, and he's going to project that. But what he said about tagging players, to me, is not very smart. Because I don't think the players will, I know they won't agree with it. And if he keeps saying this, they might grow to resent him a little bit.
Yeah.
You might think I'm wrong, and I respect that. But let's play this, and then we can further the discussion. Here's Coach Campbell on being tagged.
Well, I would love to be franchised. That would be nice. Because it's a pretty good little chunk right now. But I don't want to get that far into it. I really don't, Michael. I'm sorry. Look, all these things will be coming down the road, you know, before the 17th, obviously. And, you know, look, we've had dialogue. We've talked back and forth. Brad and I have talked about this. I mean, we've gone every scenario you could go down, believe it or not, just on everybody.
All right. So, by the way, I wonder if he's referencing my boy Stoney, Michael Stone out there. The godfather
maybe.
Of Detroit. It probably was when he said Michael. He said that maybe a little tongue-in-cheek.
Oh,
like,
it's definitely,
man, I wish.
Definitely tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. But don't you think at some point he needs to, if it's brought up again, clarify that? Because if I'm a player, like if I'm Kenny Golladay, I'm not feeling that.
Well, I mean,
not feeling that at all.
It's interesting because there's different ways to look at the franchise tag, which has gotten a lot more complicated over the last few years, BT, because of how it's defined. Now, just for definition's sake, it used to be, at least this is what I used to think it was. It may have always been the way that I'm going to describe it, but I used to think it was the average of the top five salaries at the positions. Now, it's the average five-year cap percentage of the top five positions, salaries at that position. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, they have these enormous numbers, right? Yeah. You look at, wow, they're making $40 million per year or $39 million per year, but their cap hits were like 10%. Actually, Pat Mahomes last year was 8.4%. This year, or next year, it balloons to the Russell Wilson category, so it's like 17%. So you take the average of those top five salaries, cap percentage, so whether it's an 8 in there or a 17 in there, whatever that averages out to be, let's say it's 13, and then that 13% of the salary cap will be the franchise.
Salary.
Yeah, will be the franchise tag.
Correct.
And so either way, it's going to be big money.
Yeah.
The question is there security in that? Now, if you're a quarterback, there is absolutely security in that. Dak Prescott, notwithstanding. He is a rare quarterback that was on a franchise tag that he got hurt. But in actuality, it still helps him because they don't have a choice other than to franchise him again. One, if they want to keep him, or two, they want to trade him and get some value for him. They can't just let him walk in free agency.
That's not happening anyway, obviously.
So even if you're a quarterback and you get hurt, it helps you. You know what I mean? But if you're a wide receiver, back to your point.
Like his receiver.
Like Kenny Galladay, and you are getting franchised, it can't help you because you now risk injury again. Let's not forget, Kenny was on his trajectory to be one of the great wide receivers in football. He had 11 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards in 2019.
Which, by the way, the 11 touchdowns led the NFL receiving touchdowns in 2019.
Right. But he only played in five games last year.
Yep.
And being a third-round draft pick, it puts him in an odd space. Because he should be able to get paid, like Michael Thomas, who was not a first-round draft pick as well for the New Orleans Saints. But there's still that question mark out there about what your actual value is, and are you going to fully be available? We're not going to pay you a long-term deal if we don't trust that you're going to be healthy. And so the franchise tag is sometimes great, and it's sometimes a burden to actually building wealth. I always look at the franchise tag, and I was never a candidate for this, BT, but I was obviously around a lot of guys that were, Michael Strahan being one. That franchise tag is the NFL team and the owner's way to suppress your wages. It's wage suppression, right? Because they're not giving you the lump sum guaranteed signing bonus, which is the only thing that's guaranteed for NFL players.
Which is why Campbell shouldn't be saying that.
Well, I mean, I think he's being a smart businessman. I think
For the Lions, not for Kenny Galladay.
Agreed, but he doesn't know Kenny Galladay.
He better know him because he might be his best player.
Maybe
they keep him.
Maybe, and if he's healthy and available, there's still so much evaluating that this Lions team has to do. Now, Kenny Galladay is a guy you want a part of this. There's no doubt about
Kenny.
It. But at the same time, at what expense, right? Are you going to pay this kid without fully having your idea at quarterback, or knowing what you have at quarterback? Look, this Jared Goff deal is as amazing as it sounds. It's not official yet. It's going to be official, but what is Jared Goff going to bring? And is Kenny Galladay the right player for him? There's a lot of evaluating that they got to do, and we can dig into some of it, even though I know that Coach Campbell can't comment on the Jared Goff deal because it's not official yet. So it's kind of would be tampering.
We'll dance around it. We're not going to put him in a tough spot.
Of course,
we'll get something.
But the franchise tag is interesting, man. Kirk Cousins said it helps you. Kirk Cousins was speaking for quarterbacks. For every other position, it doesn't help you so much.
That's what I'm saying. And listen, I believe they're absolutely going to franchise him. If they do, I think Allen Robinson's going to either get – I don't think – you know, for all these receivers –
The Bears cannot lose him.
I know.
They cannot
lose him. They definitely can. All these receivers on the market, the only one that I think shakes loose, Will Fuller's obviously not going back to the Texans.
Yeah.
And I think Juju Smith-Schuster is gone. Everybody else, I think, is going back to their teams with a tag.
Yeah, because Juju was replaced, right?
Yes.
They drafted well.
That's correct. All right, so can the Lions also draft a quarterback in addition to acquiring Goff?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.